of the soul.
Say, Lord, that we love you. We appreciate all that you do for us, all that you have
Lord, we just pray that you give us the grace, Lord, and the mercy this morning to be able to just submerge ourselves, Lord, in your truths and in your words. Lord, just to clothe ourselves, to be hid from this world who is hiding in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask that you come into service this morning and speak to our hearts from your word. Lord, and I know that as we go from this place, our hearts burning, Lord, within us as you speak to us. These things lay within you, Lord. It's not in a man. But Lord, we surrender ourselves to you this morning to believe, God, that your way will be done. We love you, Lord. Pray that you touch every heart.
Yes.
Touch every person in their body. Lord, give them strength. Give them alertness, Lord. And just let us, Lord, sit in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Musicians can go to the seat. Love the Lord. He's good to us. I wanted to say welcome to Brother Hobie and his family. Brother. Good to have him. I always enjoy listening to his singing. And told him last time we're going to have to get him out here to preach for us again one of these days pretty soon. We still need to do that, brother. So I enjoy his singing, his testimony. Also, I wanted just to take a moment just to say thank you to all the church and all the saints that made last weekend such a good time. It was just a wonderful time of refreshing. You know that when you have services that are 3 and 3.5 or 4 hours long and that you just absolutely just wish it hadn't ended when it did, you'll know that the Lord has paid you a visit. We had several services last week that was really good. And so if you missed it, I want you to be able to go and listen to it. And the Lord just did great, wonderful things. Just a mighty presence of the Lord here. So just want to thank each of you that had worked to make that happen. I know that many were praying. And I know I had been asking the Lord. And so there was a lot of work done. The young people worked on the bulletin board there. But they also worked really hard outside. You know, there was a lot of things we did outside. Brother Matthew did a lot of things inside the building. And so I wanted to just say thank you for all that. You know, we want to be faithful with what the Lord has here for us. You know, because the scripture tells us if you're faithful with what he gives you, the small things, he'll give you greater things. And I by no means want to ask the Lord to give us something greater if we're not faithful with what we've got. So I certainly want to be faithful with what we have. As I was telling the brothers, I know that concerning a place of worship and fellowship that wouldn't be under the restrictions we have now here, that all the Lord's got to do is just look and nod our direction, just speak. And once he does that, it's done. It'll be a done deal. So we want to just leave it into his hands and just continue to pray and seek him and believe that he will help us with that. So this morning, I want to go ahead and get into the scriptures, and I'm going to call this today, Fear Not, the Day of Total Deliverance is at Hand. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's just go ahead and open the Bible, and I still have it on the bulletin board. We're going to begin reading Luke chapter 12, verse 32. This is a scripture I've used several times recently, just in mentioning. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. This is Jesus speaking, says, Fear not, little flock. Amen. Little flock. Right? Not gigantic flock. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Now, I would say if that's the desire of the Lord to give you the kingdom, I'm pretty sure you're going to have the kingdom.
Amen.
Right? Amen. So now let's go to Romans chapter 8, and maybe we'll read the rest of this passage of scripture in Romans later, but I just want to read verse 28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so you can be seated, and the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You know, I was we had a really wonderful time last week, and you know, we are soldiers, right? I mean, soldiers. We are soldiers. We're fighting in the army of the Lord. And we expect Satan to do battle with us. And especially, you know, as we came out of the meetings last week, I was thinking in my mind, okay, what are we going to face this week? Because I know that the Lord has moved and we've had a wonderful time. So I know that Satan is going to be on the rampage. So as we come into this next week, we're going to have some battles to do. And so I had some battles, you know. I certainly did. And so I knew that, and I was thinking how that here's Brother Tim had put all the effort out that he did for the musicians' retreat, which turned out to be a very good time of refreshing for the brothers who came to that. Very, very much refreshing in the Lord and in the worship. And then as he was doing all that, his air conditioner goes out. Right, brother? To the sum of hundreds of dollars, if I understand correctly, about $500 to get it fixed. Is that what it was, brother? So, you know, here's Brother Tim trying to do something for the kingdom of heaven, and then here comes something along like that, you know, and Satan likes to do things, and things happen, and we realize that Satan's just a tool in the hand of God, right? That's all he is. He can't do anything except what God allows it. So, you know, when things like that, when Brother Tim had to deal with that, that came across God's desk. And God approved that. So we understand that. And so, you know, I was thinking about that, and it just helped to reaffirm to us that we realize that when we are soldiers of the cross, we can expect Satan to have, he's going to be really mad, and especially in the day that we live in right now. So, you know, Satan wants to intimidate us, right? Now, he's not a creator. I said here once before, I like saying that, and I do. Satan is not a creator. Brother Branham comes along, and this is something that only we as message believers get to really understand and absorb these things like this. Because the rest of the world, if you told them Satan wasn't a creator, they'd argue with you.
Yeah.
But we believe it because it was given to us by a vindicated prophet, and it unfolds the scriptures so deep to understand this. Satan is not a creator. He was equal with God in everything except creation. Okay? And so he's not a creator, but he's a perverter. And he's had 6,000 years to pervert what God had created and to pervert it so that it would work his plan instead of God's plan. And so you realize that Satan's just about to meet his doom.
Right?
He's just about to be bound for 1,000 years. And then at the end of 1,000 years, he's going to be toast. So we know that he is coming. Satan's Eden is coming right now to its pinnacle. He's coming to the best he'll ever have right now. Right? The best that he'll ever have right now is upon this world right now. And so, absolutely, he's not going to be very happy when there's still a people in he's supposed to be in control of this kingdom, and this world does belong to him right now. But here he's supposed to have everything locked down underneath his control, and yet there's still believers that have meetings like we had last week. So no doubt he's going to be mad about it. He's not going to be happy about that. And so we find out that Satan is a perverter, and for 6,000 years he has worked to pervert, and, you know, he studies things, he studies you, he has a tactic against each one of you.
Right?
He doesn't just, well, whatever. But he looks at a person and he formulates a plan of attack on how he can use successful attempts to overthrow each one of us. That's what he tries to do. And so he studies us and he devises plans on how he can destroy us. However, it doesn't work.
Right.
God uses it as a tool. That's all it is. It's just a tool. And every time Satan opens his mouth to try and destroy you, he causes you to be deeper in the faith.
Yeah, right.
He causes you to be closer and or further down the line in your walk with God, closer to that image that God had of you to begin with.
Yes,
so every time Satan does something, he thinks he's accomplishing something, but he turns around and destroys himself. He shoots himself in the foot when he does this. And so the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, and she'll put that up, he tries to do it, but the scripture says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
We've heard that, right? And every tongue, and remember, Satan is the accuser. How many has had him accuse you this week?
Amen.
He is the accuser, and you can bank on that. He's going to talk to you every day and try and tell you you're not what God says you are.
Right.
So he's the accuser. He rises up with his tongue, with his speech, and tries to talk to you. But look what the scripture says. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Yeah.
So Satan's he's the accuser of you, but the scripture tells us that every time he's going to come to you or anyone else comes with their tongue to accuse you, that you will condemn that. God has sought to it. He said, so thou shalt condemn. And he goes on, he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me is of me, saith the Lord. So when Satan tries all these things, it doesn't work. So you find out, and we are made, actually, we were made for this hour. I've said in the past that, you know, if I or you found yourself in the days of Luther, you'd have believed Luther's message. Why? Because you've got the gene of life in you, right? But at the same time we say that, we realize that you weren't made for Luther's day. You were made for this day.
Right.
Right? You were made for this day, created by God for this day. And so you're going to be what God wants you. And no matter what Satan tries to do to upset you, it's not going to work. Right. We find out that we in ourselves, since Satan is equal with God, or was equal with God, in everything except creation, we find out that we in ourselves are not able to outsmart Lucifer.
Right.
We're not able to outsmart him. Scripture says he's wiser than Daniel, right? Yeah. And so he's wiser than Daniel. He's wiser than anybody on this earth, any government, whatever, whoever they are, any preacher. He's wiser than all them. But our Lord Jesus Christ defeated him.
Right.
Right? He's already defeated. So here's the thing. We can't use our thinking because he'll outwit us, right? Because he's smarter, right? We can't use our thinking, and there's only one who can defeat him, and that's the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so there it is. We have to cast away our thinking because we can't defeat him with our mentality, our understanding of things. But we cast away our thinking and make everything subject to Christ Jesus, to the word. And by that word, we defeat the same enemy that he defeated, right? And so that's the way it works. But that is a requirement. It's not an option. It's a requirement. We must throw away our thinking and use the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Use his thoughts in order to defeat Satan. And so Satan wants us to believe that we, you know, well, if you do make it, it'll just be by the skin of your teeth. You'll just barely make it. That's what he wants to tell you. You know, first he wants to tell you you're not going to make it at all, but if that's not working, then he's going to tell you, well, you'll just barely make it. And if you make it, yeah, maybe you can, but your kids can't.
Yeah. What?
Think about it. Isn't that what he tells you? Right. I see people shaking their head. That's exactly. Yeah, you might make it, but your children's not going to, or your friends aren't going to. Those you prayed for aren't. But it's a lie, because every time he moves like that, it causes you to dig down deeper into the promises of God and turns around and defeats him by that promise.
Yeah.
So every time he does that, it's just a failure. So he wants us to think that we're a slim chance. And I've said this, we have a slim chance of getting there, but I've said this in the past, you know, show signs and wonders that it would deceive the very elect, if possible. If possible, because it's not possible to deceive the elect. And I remember having a conversation right here in this room back in Pentecost, right over here in that section of the building. And a sister said, oh, I don't know about that. When I said, you can't deceive the elect. Oh, I don't know about that. But I'm going to tell you something. If somebody is elect, if they've gone through the governing, the electing body, and that electing body or whoever it is has elected them, who's going to come along and tell them they can't be that? Right? Now, don't look at the election and stuff that's going on now out there, because you might have to change your thinking on matters the way they're doing stuff right now.
Yeah.
But if God has an elect people, who's going to tell him they can't be in that position that he's elected him to be in?
Right?
Right? So God has an elect people. And so when Satan wants to make you think you're barely going to make it, I'm going to tell you something, saints. By the plan and grace of God, you'll go right into the kingdom of heaven without any troubles. Because that's what he has paid the price for. God does all things well.
Right.
Amen? He does everything well. And so we have to remember that the Lord has chosen us. Let's read St. John chapter 15, verse 16 through 19, and look at this. So he says, you have not chosen me. Think about that. You didn't choose him. So he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to have fruit, and that fruit's going to remain. So what God does in your life shall be established. It'll remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Right.
These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world,
right,
therefore the world hateth you. Right? So you're called, he has called you, and he's called you out of the world. So you were in the world, but he called you out, and especially in this day, come out of her, my people. Because my people was in her, but he says, come out of her, my people, a false system, into truth. So he said, I have called you out of the world, and what I've called you to is a place where you will be despised and rejected and hated by the world, but you're in a chosen place, an elect place, an ordained place of God to be, and Satan can't do anything to stop it.
Right.
Nothing can rise up to remove us from that call that God has given us. So remember, fear not, because the day of total deliverance is at hand. So, we're made for this hour. Amen?
Yeah.
We're made for this day to believe the truth that God has delivered in this day.
Right.
I've said it many times that a parent, a good parent, will not call for 12th grade level maturity out of a 2-year-old.
Sure.
They won't do that. They will call for 2-year-old responses from a 2-year-old and constantly raising the bar, giving that child something to mature to.
Right.
And so here we are at the end of the ages, and God would not be calling. Remember, the Laodicene age. Here it is, he said, to them that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me on my throne. He's not going to call for a people to overcome in such a way that they could actually sit on the throne with him. He's not going to call for that if he hasn't given that ability to his people.
Sure.
So he set that standard there for us high enough that if we follow that, he'll lead us right into an experience where we'll be fit to rule.
Yeah.
So he gives us that. And so he's made us for this hour to believe the truths in this hour. And he, as our great heavenly parent, has ministered to us graduation time. 12th grade or college level, whatever it is. He's ministered to us. He set the bar there. And if we are studied and we follow after what he's doing in our life, which that's exactly what the believer does, we're arriving at that place where it's graduation time.
Right.
To be raptured, to be brought out, to have a total deliverance given to us, ministered to us by him. You know, we've talked about in the past how that when you do relay races, you always, you know, they have these, we call them, was it baton? Is that what they call it?
Yes.
But they would, you know, you'd have a runner and he would run and he would give it to the next guy and he would run. And remember how he wouldn't just run up there and stop and give it to the other guy. He would run, and as this other one he's going to hand it to would take off running, and they'd catch up, and they'd overlap for a while so they wouldn't lose the momentum and the speed. And so they would do that for runner after runner after runner, and typically you'd give your best runner for last.
Right.
The guy that could do the greatest performance, because he could make up where all the rest have failed.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yes, sir.
I remember being in Mexico, and Brother Miller and I was preparing, and I was wanting to share this with the people, and we got to looking about what that baton, how do you translate that? Brother Miller got to looking, and we were looking around, and baton, what's that? And in their language, I believe the word is testigo, which means testimony. Testimony. So these runners, they're carrying this. And this one runner, he's running with the testimony and hands it off to the next guy. He takes it, he runs on with it. And eventually, that testimony falls into the hands of the best runner.
Right.
The captain of the team or the coach. He's picked the best runner, and he says, you're the guy that's going to take this thing home.
Right.
And when you cross that finish line, all these other runners who have played their part and run their course, they're going to have victory when you have victory, because you're going to carry it over the finish line.
Right.
And so we understand that with seven church age messengers, with that testimony that Apostle Paul had, and he handed off to the next church age messenger, and to the next church age messenger. And now it comes down, the last age was handed off to the seventh church age messenger, and what did he do? He handed it to you. Right? Because you're the culmination of it. So God chooses his best runner for last. Now, if you're like me, you have to say, you know what? I don't see myself that way. Good. Then God can do something with you. I don't see myself that way either. But remember, we are chosen by him.
Right?
Right? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We don't see ourselves that way. Right? But by grace, I think I got the wrong scripture here. We don't see ourselves that way. We'll go ahead and go with this. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God.
Right.
Amen? It is a gift of God that he's done in your life, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right?
Right.
For we are his workmanship.
Right.
You don't feel that way. You don't think that you're the best runner, but you are his workmanship. He placed you where he wants you, and he knows more about what you are and what he's put in you than you do.
Right.
Right? So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen?
Right.
So we are what God has made us, even if we don't see it in ourselves. But that's what an end time message has come to do, is to show us who we are.
Right.
Show us who we are in Christ Jesus, so that we act out what we are in Christ Jesus and no longer doubt, no longer questioning it. So, we're his workmanship. Did you notice there when it said that we are saved by grace and not of yourself? It's a gift from God.
Uh-huh.
Not by works, right? But by grace. You're saved by grace, not by works, not by what you do, not by what you don't do. You're just simply saved by grace, right?
Yeah.
Saved by grace. That not of works, it's a gift of God. Amen? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Yes.
So he just got through telling us, you're not saved by works, but you're the workmanship of Christ Jesus. In Christ, you're and so unto good works. So the whole experience takes you to a place where God works things through you, and good works are happening through
right.
your life, but you're not saved by those. It had nothing to do with that. You're saved by grace, but that experience takes you to good works,
right.
takes you to a place where you walk. So what I want to show you here is that it's not you doing it, but it's him. It's his workmanship that he's doing, and so anything that we do that's a righteousness, it can't be ourselves because it's filthy rags, but it's him doing it through us.
Right.
So when he calls us to live and run and walk in this hour, it's his work. It's not something we're doing. If we were doing it, it wouldn't be any good.
Right.
But it's his work, what he's done, and it will abide. I believe that.
Amen.
Because I know that I couldn't believe and understand and know and have the things that God has given to me if he hadn't have done it. If he hadn't have made those things happen.
Right.
So, we thank the Lord for that. So the scriptures tell us, when we read there, God has arranged it in such a way to where everything that happens to you, right? All things work together for the good of them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Who called them? Did you call yourself?
No,
he did the call. So he's arranged it so that all things, so every trial you go through, every trial that you've ever had and ever will have, all of that God is using to work his purpose in your life.
Right.
You say, I've got baggage. You know what? Well, we all have baggage.
Right.
We have all kinds of things, you know. There's things about me I just wish I could just sling off and leave behind. But I wake up the next day and there they are again. Yeah. And, you know, Satan wants to get you so down and depressed and say, I'll never be anything because I've got this. But that's him talking again, see? And God will turn around and use everything that Satan tries to put on you, and he'll use it for his glory, his benefit, and prosper you down the line into what he wants you to be.
Right.
So everything, every action, everything that happens, if we do get a woman president, right? If it does happen and she turns the country into whatever, we know what the prophecies are telling us.
Sure.
We know those things, but if we do get that, it's for your good.
Right.
Because God doesn't make mistakes, and he doesn't back up. He doesn't go, oh, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. I'll have to back up and go this other route. It don't happen that way.
Right.
So if we do get something happens politically, or if we do go to war with Russia or something like that, those things, it's all because of God's purpose, and none of those things take away the purpose he has for you. But contrary-wise to what Satan wants you to think, God will use every bit of that to refine you just a little bit more into his image.
Right.
Everything. Every pain that I have in my legs and feet when I get up in the morning. I look like an old man sometimes for about the first 5 minutes and can't hardly walk because of so much pain in my feet. You know what? Christ is my healer. The Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. But God uses every bit of that sometimes maybe just to slow you down a little bit. Sometimes just to make you think, make you seek God and search him out and find something you need to find out from him. Sometimes it's like that. You know, and God, he does those kinds of things. And so, no matter what it is that you have, baggage or whatever, you know, when Satan tells you you won't, just tell him he's a liar.
Yeah,
just tell him, Satan, I am his workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus. And so, I said a little while ago, we were made for this hour. We are. We're made for this hour. We are made to believe what God was going to give us in this hour. We were made to hear it.
Yes, sir.
To believe it. We are made to embrace it. Amen? We are made to be persecuted because we embrace it.
Right.
And we are made to receive total deliverance by that very thing that we have embraced and believed in this hour.
Amen.
Luther's message right now won't bring much persecution. But it did in his day. Right? But Luther's message also won't bring deliverance in this day. See? Satan's not stupid. So Satan's shotgun is pointed at the thing that he knows is a fresh message that will bring deliverance, that will defeat him. That's the thing that he wants to go after. And that's what he is going after. That's why we know from day to day that he fights us the way he does, because God has a people on this earth that are tuned in to this end time word that's giving total deliverance to his people. So we are predestinated to hear this word in this hour, to believe it with all of our heart, to embrace it, that it would change our lives and we begin to live it, which brings on persecution. And in that persecution, when the enemy rises up, thinks he's going to destroy God's people, God always brings a deliverance to his people. It always happens that way. As we read a little while ago, it is his desire to bring that deliverance. Because in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when I ask you a question, has God started anything at all in your life that was good?
Yeah.
Is he going to get distracted? Is he going to forget or fail? No, the thing that he started out, the journey that he put you on to begin with, he's going to make sure you get there. He's going to do that because you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So we believe that. We believe that he's given us a word that will deliver us in this hour. And we just have to stay with that word. We have to hide ourselves in that word. Cover ourselves. Get inside the tabernacle of the Lord. Find that secret place
which God has given to us, a message of the hour to hide in. And God will take what he has started and he will finish it. Amen? Because it is his desire to deliver you. It's not his desire. I think one of the brothers might have mentioned this recently. I don't remember which one it was, but, you know, Satan gives you the idea that God's just watching, just looking for you to make a mistake so he can destroy you. That's not what God's plan of redemption. If that was God's attitude, he'd have never supplied us a way out to begin with. God's desire is to set us free, to deliver us, to take away our sins, to heal us, to put us in a supernatural body that we can worship and enjoy the joys of heaven throughout eternity. That's what his desire was. And so that's what he set into place. And that's the thing that God is intending to deliver to you, to put you in those kinds of victories no matter what. And Satan is in opposition to that. And God will use it as a tool. Amen. So, it's his desire to deliver us. And I don't, you know, most of you probably heard this. I've told this years ago about that time I come home one evening and I found that. I went out in my building. I'll just tell this for those who haven't heard it. But, you know, sometimes the Lord does stuff in your life. And we know that through the preaching of the gospel, the world calls it foolishness. So this may sound like a foolish story, but it happened. And I can stand on the day of judgment and stand there before the whole kingdom of heaven and say, this happened. Okay? This really happened. And not that it was so supernatural necessarily, but I believe it was supernatural. And so I came home one night, and it was almost dark, and I went out into my little building out there, and I had a flashlight, and I went out there, and so I go in the building looking for something like it, and I heard a noise, and I walked over by the door, and I had this five-gallon bucket laying in the sitting there on the floor, and I guess it had had some grass clippings or something. Maybe not all. I don't know. There was something down in there like that probably had decayed a little bit. And so the smell or something had attracted a mouse. And so this mouse had climbed up the wood and had jumped off in that five-gallon bucket. Well, the inside of that bucket's slick. And so I heard this noise, and I walked over there, and I shined my light, and I looked in there, and here was, and you forgive me, but there was three dead mice in there and one living one. And every one of those mice, there was one that was just pretty much bones, and here was one that was not quite decayed as much, and the last one still looked like it had only been there for a day or two and had been eaten on by the one that was living. And I looked down in there, and so here's these dead mice, all in different decays, different generations, because they all had went in there at different times. The first one went in, and he died. The next one smelled it, went there after him. He died. The next one went, he died, and here's the fourth one there. And I never thought about it, but you know, fourth is God's number of deliverance, right? Four. And so this fourth one is in there, and I heard this little noise. I thought, what is it? And I went over and looked, and here's this little mouse down in there, and just me and myself, I look at all them, and I said, buddy, it's over with for you. You done messed up, because I have no desire to save mice. And I turned and walked away, and that little fellow, when I looked in there, he was just jumping and jumping and jumping. He was getting about that far from the top of the rim of that bucket, but he couldn't get a hold of it, and he'd slide right back down and fall right back down into the mess of all them dead mice around him. He jumped. He had done everything he could, and for me and myself, I just said, you're done for, buddy, because you got a testimony all around you that you messed up, just like the rest of them did. And I walked away to go find what it was, and I heard a voice speak to me. And it said he was looking up to where the light come from. Because I had a light in my hand, and it was pretty much getting close to dark. I heard that, and I thought, wow, you know. And so I turned, and I walked back. And when I shined that light down in that bucket, that mouse that had been just jumping crazy, that mouse was sitting there just looking up, just like that, just as humble. I'm serious. Just as humble and contrite as you could ever ask. Brother, sister, I said, Lord, that's me. That's me. Because my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my dad, They all have made the same mistakes I've made. They all were sinners and probably not finding Christ Jesus. And they have this death sentence on them in one generation after another. And now here I am. I'm going the same way they went. Who's going to help me? See? I said, Lord, that's me in there. That's me in that condition. But praise God, you have shined your light upon me. And I'm looking to you to save me. See? I'm looking to you to save me and take me out of this condition that has condemned the whole world. I need a way out.
Right.
And I tell you, brother and sister, I felt like Samson. I felt like all the energy in the world come into my body. I'm serious. I can't. That's all I can say. And this overwhelming desire came over me to set that little fella free. No matter what had happened to him, no matter what the ones before had happened, something happened to me. And brother, sister, that fella was going to go free. And I felt like I could move a house out of my way if I had to set him free. He was going to go free that night.
Yeah.
And I picked that bucket up. And you know, 5-pound buckets, you can hold it like that. I picked that thing up and I felt like I could just kick a truck out of the way. Just such an anointing came on me. I've got to set this fella free. And I walked over to the property line. I didn't just pitch it out. I laid it down there. And I said, you go live in the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
And that's what God has done for us.
Amen.
Now, if I can feel that way about a little mouse under just that little inspiration that hit me to do something totally contrary that I would normally do, what about God? What about His desire to deliver you? If you'll just look to Him, the great source of light, look up to Him and ask Him to help you. Humbly trust in Him in every way, regardless of what the world does.
Amen.
Regardless of who's president, what's going on. Just look to Him.
Right.
He'll save you. His desire is to deliver you. And it won't be some guy who just feels like he's got the power of Samson. It'll be Almighty God with all of His spoken word power to deliver you. And no enemy's going to stop Him from doing that.
Amen.
Just be humble.
Yeah.
And look to Him.
Amen.
So if I feel that way, what about Him? So this is a day of total deliverance. Because in previous days, there's partial word. Partial word, partial deliverance. But we live it now where it's the first time where it's been total, complete word revealed, the opening of the seals. And you take a people that believes that, there's total deliverance power present because of a total word that's been released and they believe it. What God has called them to is not just some small portion of truth, but to the total portion of truth, the total redemptive power, an open seven-sealed book with all the mysteries revealed so that we know who we are, we know where we stand with Christ Jesus, and we know how to humble ourselves under His mighty hand so He can exalt us. Right? We know how to do that because He's ministered that to us. He's given it to us by His word, and now He calls us to believe that word. So He calls us to that, to believe it. And by that belief of that word, of a deliverance message, we are delivered.
Right.
By that word, we are delivered. Through the wings of a great eagle prophet. That's what He's done. So, obviously that means that Satan's opposition, if we got full word, he's going to have all these throwed out there, but it's not going to be good enough.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 54:17 again. Let's just read that just for a moment. I want to point out a couple of things here. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Right? Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is the heritage. You know what the heritage is? It's what you inherit from your father or from your parents.
Right.
So he says, look, no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. Everyone that tries to condemn you, you're going to condemn them.
Yeah.
This is your heritage. This is what your father has given to you. You will condemn every one of them in judgment. And no weapon will prosper against you. And this is your inheritance that come from your heavenly father. It's yours, given to you by his birthing you from him. And their righteousness. You have righteousness.
Right?
Right? You have it. It's not yours, though. He says, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Brother, sister, how are you going to fail? Right. Satan will tell you you'll fail. You're going to tell you you'll fail. You're never going to tell you you'll fail. But how are you going to fail in the presence of God when he has called you to this?
Right.
All right, so this is him. This is the word. This is the message of deliverance. These are the things that he has said. Now it's our job to get on board with what he said and start living out what he said. So tomorrow when you get out of bed, you set your feet on the floor and you say to this, I don't care what happens today, not a thing that Satan tries to do is going to prosper. I don't know what the day holds, but I know who holds it, and it's not going to prosper. Whatever I have to endure, the end product is that I'm going to be molded and made a little bit better, a little bit closer, a little more like my Lord and Savior.
Right.
We believe that. So, when we go to Psalms 91, let's just talk about this. I said a while ago, hide yourself in the tabernacle of the Lord. Get yourself in the secret place of the Most High. So let's read this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So this is speaking of, now remember, just hold that up there while I mention these other scriptures. Remember rapture text, Psalms 27? In a time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. Right? Right? He'll hide me in this great revelation. You know, the scripture said, and then that day, I'll be in you and you'll be in me. Well, how can that be? Well, first of all, when a man and woman love each other, my wife and I'm in her and she's in me. I'm in her heart, she's in my heart. Okay? We can understand it that way. But the scripture says that this is how you know you're in Christ Jesus, by the Spirit that he's given you. So when he gives you his Spirit, that places you in him. So by his Spirit, you're in Christ Jesus. By his Spirit, you're in the tabernacle of the Lord. By his Spirit, by the revelation that comes with the word, you now are hid in the secret place of the world because of the Lord, because the world don't know it. Right? You can't know it unless you're in it. So you're in this tabernacle. And so he that dwelleth in this secret place I'm telling you about, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Right?
And I will say of the Lord, he, what? This word, this message, truth, him, the person of Christ who has revealed himself. I will say, he is my refuge.
Right?
Right? This word, these promises, which is Christ Jesus, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God in whom I will trust. I'm not going to trust in the president or whoever, UN or whatever. I'm going to trust in this. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee. And he's saying because you, okay, because you make him your Lord, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Listen to this. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He's an eagle. And he sends a prophet who represents him, which is an eagle. Right?
Right.
He sends a prophet, and he has two wings. We talk about Old Testament, New Testament. And so his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So it's this truth, these words, that are going to protect us. It's the wings of the Almighty that's over us, creating a shadow of protection. It's that which keeps us. These truths of Christ Jesus revealed. Not Luther's day, but this day. This is what we embrace. These promises that he will bring deliverance to us. That's going to be our shield and our buckler. Now, let me go ahead and finish this. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Just hold it right there. Now think about this. He's a great eagle. He's got two wings. You can't fly with one wing because you'd fly in circles. You're not going to fly anyway because you're going to flip over every time you do it. So a bird's got to have both these wings. This eagle has wings. Old Testament, New Testament. And you go out on this wing and you pull a feather out. And you look at that feather and it's got these little bitty lines, you know, little bitty things shooting out here that makes the feather. And so what I want to show you is you got an Old Testament, you got a New Testament. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3. You see what I'm saying? This eagle's made up of scriptures. Right? And you got like books. A feather is a book. And these little veins are chapters, and these little things are verses, and you can just go right out here, and every one of them feathers is portions of the Word of God, portions of the Bible, and it's by those feathers, with all of them in place, that eagle can rise up and fly. Start pulling out little feathers, pulling out entire books or little things like that, and you begin to diminish his ability to fly. This is what the world has done. They pick and choose what they want out of the Bible. But the believers of this message accept the entire Bible, the eagle that we're trusting in, all his feathers are there. Everything's there. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every line, it's all there. And we amen every bit of it. It's by that he rises up and takes us on. Right? That's what we trust in. Not something else. We trust in that eagle. He shall cover thee with his feathers, with his scriptures, and under his wing thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And he sends a prophet in this day to take that Bible and make it a new book to you. In other words, when you thought that you were looking at an eagle that had all the stuff missing, you see that through this message, you've got an eagle who's been renewed.
Right. The
Bible's become a new book. It's a renewed book to us. Every feather, everything's there. It's all been brought new to us. Right? And a prophetic message in this end time is what has done that to us. So God has come down with his great wings of an eagle to do exactly this. Is there another verse, sister? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth the noonday. Now, it sounds to me like there's all kinds of chaos going on. Because he's telling you, as all this goes on, what about you? He's going to protect you. Okay? 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. 1,000 shall. Shall. Do you understand what that's saying? Not maybe. Possibly. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 will fall at your right-hand side.
Yeah.
Right? See? But it shall not come nigh thee.
Right.
So the thing that's making everybody fall around you, 1,000 at your side and 10,000 at your right, it's making them fall, but it won't come nigh you. Why? Because you are protected by the wings of the eagle.
Right.
All right? But what if you forsake those truths? What if you say, well, Brother Branham didn't know what he's talking about here, and this was, you know, and they've explained this away, and this white website said this and that. You don't have a renewed eagle.
Yeah.
Right? But our eagle is renewed. He's got all of his feathers in there. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold the reward of the wicked. So this is how close it comes. This is how close tribulation comes. This is the way it all pans out. That as the world is in chaos and falling all around us, God keeps his people, and there's nothing Satan can do about it. God keeps his people, but his people will see it with their eye. They'll know what's going on. They'll know what's happening, but they'll also be enjoying the protection and safety of the Lord if they're in this secret place.
Right.
If they're in the secret place, which is Christ Jesus, a revealed word embracing the truth that he's given us hour in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the true baptism of the Holy Ghost will point you to these truths.
Right?
The Holy Spirit's not going to say, well, for this little group, you know, I know we've got an end time message that's going to bring rapture, but I'm going to anoint you. No, the scripture said that the Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all truth. Right? So, I know that people can have gifts of the Spirit. People can have Holy Ghost on their flesh or something like that. But you let it touch the soul of a man. You let him let that Holy Spirit touch him inside. He'll be quickened inside to the living word of his day.
Amen. Right.
Which is Christ Jesus. So, it won't come nigh thee. All kinds of chaos coming on, but it won't come nigh thee. I think I might be able to finish this in 1 hour. Amen. We're going to try this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God, to them called according to his purpose. You familiar with these? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Paul said, wow, if God foreknew me, and because he foreknew me, he had to predestinate me.
Right.
And since he's predestinated me, then he's got to call me.
Yeah.
And if he calls me, he's not calling me to something he's just going to try and mess up at. So he's got to justify me. And then if he justifies me, then he's got to provide for me, glorify a glorified body for me. And Paul says, look, if God ever set out to do this for you, who's going to be able to do anything against you?
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah.
God's done it. Right?
Yeah.
So who can be against us? Let's go to the next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things? So, as sinners, not even thinking about God, he took Christ Jesus, delivered him up, that he might save us.
Right.
And now, how shall he not, if we have him in us, right? If we have him in us, then by that, if he can deliver him up for us to save us, then if we've got him in us, how's it he's not going to give us all things?
Right.
He is going to give us all things, right?
Yeah.
He'll give us all things because that's the whole purpose. Let's go to the next verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies it.
Right?
I don't care what the devil says to you. I don't care what the world says to you. I don't care what the news people try to show about Donnie Reagan or maybe in the future about us or some other message. It don't make any difference what they say, right? We rise and fall in the eyes of God. And if God has called us, we are justified by him. Nobody can come along and unjustify us because God has justified us.
Amen.
Who is he that condemns us? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Listen, if he's up there making intercessions for you, Brother Daniel, is that going to fail?
No.
If he's the one, this is why Paul's saying, look, God is for you. Who can be against you? God is up there making intercessions for you. He's the one that's justified you. Nobody's going to come along and do nothing with that.
Right.
Though they might try to tell you they are. Mm-hmm. Right? He makes his intercession. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written. Now notice the things he just listed there. Famine, peril, persecution, nakedness, sword. All the things that would come upon you because of who you are as a believer. That's what he's referring to, right?
Right. Yes,
sir. As it is written. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. As a believer, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're right out here for the world to persecute and to ridicule, and we might find ourselves in tribulation and peril and in sword and in nakedness and all kinds of stuff might come our way. We might find ourselves. That's what we're called to. Can these things separate us from the love of God?
No.
Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, the UN, or anybody else, there's not one thing they can do to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Right.
For I am persuaded, this is Paul saying this, and remember, he was the first church age messenger, and the last one said, I haven't deviated one bit from what Paul said, see? So it's still in effect. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So Paul said, I'm persuaded that death cannot separate you from the love of God. We know that. But look what he said next. Go back to the previous one. Neither death nor life. Even life, even this life, even the things that happen or don't happen, that you've done or not done,
right.
If you're in this category that God has called and justified and glorified, it's already done in his mind, this person, even this life, cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Even this life can't do it. Okay, we can go on to the next one. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen?
Amen? Do you believe that?
Amen.
No tribulation, nothing we go through, because, you know, tribulation might make you start doubting.
Right.
Oh, why is it so, you know? That can't separate you from the love of God. It can't separate you from this calling that God has given to you to call you into his elect.
Amen?
Amen? We have such a wonderful message. And we have a time right now where total deliverance is at hand.
Yes, sir.
We can't go much forward further, right? God will have to do something. And so we just keep right along believing and embracing these truths, not forsaking them, but embracing them.
Right.
So that when we see these things coming, our heart doesn't fail. Because the scriptures talk about a time when people's hearts are failing for fear, looking after the things that are coming on the earth. People were scared to death. Scared left and right. But no matter what you find yourself in, no matter where it is, where you're at, you remember this. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You embrace a truth that will bring deliverance to you. It might be at the chop block. Probably not for the believers. We have a rapture promised.
Right.
Right? We have a rapture promise. We're under an eagle, not under a sacrificial thing, okay? But just for the sake of covering it, it might be on a chop block, it might be whatever, but total deliverance is at hand. Because even the world knows this, it's about over.
Yeah.
Even people who don't have nothing to do with will tell you, they realize something serious is wrong and it's out of control. We know that too.
Yeah.
Out of their control. Right? No matter what happens, though, we realize that God uses all of that.
Right.
All of those things to fulfill his purpose. So we have a reason for being here. And you know what? Our reason for being here isn't necessarily so that we can, you know, enjoy this and enjoy that. We're not just here just to have a good time and have good food and good fellowship. God's got us here for a reason, for his plan. There's something of eternal merit that God is performing through our lives.
Right.
That it might touch others and reach others and whatever it might be. But our purpose on this life is not just, say, to go find a new recipe and fix another type of soup that we might enjoy, or to go hike another mountain that we might want to hike and enjoy. That's not what we're here for. God lets us do those things. That's part of it. That's part of life. But the purpose, our purpose in life, has an eternal value to it, right? Because we belong to that kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. And so, how many believe this word that we embrace will give you deliverance?
Amen.
Right, man. The world don't want you to think that. They want you to think that you got to stay bound up with all the things that they want to put on you. You know, my wife and I we're planning on going on vacation this next week, next weekend. We had our 30th anniversary back in February. We decided we'd put it off just a little bit. We wanted to get away for a few days. And we thought, all along, we'd said we'd go to Florida and go spend some time just sitting on the beach and And I told a guy at work, I said, listen, my wife and I, we're going to go to the beach. We're going to a place where there probably won't be a whole lot of people. And according to, even to the advertisement, says it's secluded, that there's not a whole lot. But I said, you know what? I'll be the only person on that beach that's not wearing shorts. And my wife is not going to be wearing some bikini or something like that. She'll be wearing a skirt. I said, we'll be the only ones out there like that.
Right.
That's right. Because we wear what we believe everywhere we go. And it does manifest outward in many ways. Right. And that's just one of them. But we have to embrace these truths. And you know what? He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you, right? So if we went down there and go, you know, honey, I don't want to be the only one out there that's not wearing shorts. I'd be ashamed of it. Right? Then he'd be ashamed of me. Right? You don't think of it that way, but that's true. Anything that are these divine truths that the whole world is against, we got to embrace them. Hold fast to those things.
Right.
Because our deliverance is right there in those things that we hold. I'm not trying to reduce it down just to a clothesline religion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the revelation of resurrection power in the midst of a people in the day called Laodicea. I'm talking about that. Man, that's what I'm talking about. But these things manifest, and we have to take our stand
right
against the world with these things and be a testimony for something. So, God bless you. I might have went over a minute or two. I wasn't trying to do just an hour, but I just saw that and thought, well, praise God, I'm going to get out of here a lot sooner than normal. And that's what the Lord put on my heart to share with you today.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. I believe it's truth. And saints, we've got to hold true to these things that God has given us.
Amen.
You know that it's brought to us by a vindicated prophet in this day that's right in the scriptures and now made it alive right before us. And we can see those things, and you hold to those truths. And I don't care how much persecution comes your way, stay with that truth.
Yes.
Because it will bring deliverance to you. Amen. God bless you. Let's let the musicians come and we'll bow our hearts to prayer just for a moment. Amen. Trust that you love the Lord and enjoy what he shared with us today.
Yes, amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, oh God, Lord, as we walk each week and we fight the battles, fight the enemies, and he is constantly speaking to us, Lord, I know that it is your truth, Lord, from the scriptures, Lord, that we have to just put in place and just drive out the thoughts that Satan tries to give us. Lord, it's by these truths, Lord, you bring us victory. And you didn't promise, Lord, that we wouldn't have battles. And you didn't promise that we'd have victories instantaneous, Lord. But by your word and by your truth, one by one, you bring to us one victory after another. There's no weapon that prospers. Lord, we can see that working in our lives. We've come a long ways from where we were. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you have done these things. We want to give you recognition, honor, praise, and glory for all that you've done. And every day as we rise up, Lord, just to remember that we belong to you. And we don't want to entertain something contrary to your word, but just to just open our hearts and let you fill us with your spirit each day. Lord, that we would walk and live out the scriptures of this hour, not just some previous hour, but everything pertinent to this hour, Lord Jesus, to be the testimony of this hour. God, that testimony that was handed off from Apostle Paul was made it up through the ages, and now we hold in our hand, Lord, that we would hold that testimony true and run well with it, knowing that previous ages are waiting for this final moment. Lord, we believe it's just right before us. We commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and worship just for a moment.
Oh, because it is
this. I'm going to preach a little mini sermon here real quick. Trouble may come knocking at your door. I think I would probably change that and say trouble will.
Right.
This is what we're talking about today. We're called for this as a believer. Trouble may come knocking at your door, but listen, it's not like a previous day where it was partial work. It's not like it was before, saints. It's different now. Right? Full word, full truth. Amen. So it's not like before. Don't give in. Don't let Satan put you to sleep and tell you this is not going to work. Don't let the trials bring it down. Because with this message, you don't have to worry anymore. Amen. Let's go to the second verse. You don't have to worry anymore. Fear not. Right? Go to the next verse. Okay. Hold on. We're getting stronger every day. How many can say that?
Amen.
We're getting stronger in spirit. I'm getting weaker in my flesh every day. But in spirit, we're getting stronger. In faith in this word, we're getting stronger. Believing the truth, we're getting stronger every day. There's no reason for us to go astray because God has laid it out perfectly before us. So don't lead to your own understanding. Remember what I said a while ago? He's wiser than thou. You can't outsmart him. Don't lead to your own understanding. You cast your thoughts away. You believe the truth that God's given in this hour. Just lean on Him, and we'll all say, with Him made more than conquerors.
Amen.
Amen. You believe it? God bless you. We'll let you be dismissed in the name of the Lord as we sing.